are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also joining me fresh off the post-game setup there at Valley Sports Wisconsin is Vinny Rutino. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rutino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts. On this episode, we have a lot of stuff to get into. We got John Axford news to talk about, Eduardo Escobar, Josh Hader, Christian Yelich. Really a lot to cover here from a busy Monday on your Tuesday podcast. Before we get into all of that, I want to remind you about our friends at Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. So, Benny, like I said, a lot of big news on Monday. The real big news came early with Josh Hader going to the COVID IL. A really big blow for this bullpen. I know you were all geared up to talk about Hader on the pre and post game show there. But now he is out for 10 days at least. Somebody in the bullpen is going to have to step up here. The bullpen's obviously been very good lately. It sounds like Devin Williams is going to get a first crack at being the closer, but just talk about the loss of Hader here, Vinny, and what it means for this bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of shifts everyone back an inning. I think Boxberger is going to close if he's fresh. I think Williams is going to get a shot. I think John Kerr is going to get some opportunities to close in these next 10 days. But it certainly, it affects the ability to kind of have some assurance that the game's going to be over once Josh Hader takes the ball. I mean, he's been so good all year long. I think he's blown one save. So, I think the idea is that just to have that assurance that, you know, he's going to be able to get three outs, no problem. That is a little bit concerning, but I mean, he'll be back in 10 games. I think the Brewers will be fine. I just think they just got to piece some things together in the bullpen for these next 10.
I think what this does for me, Vinny, is that it shows how important Josh Hader is to this team, how important a dominant Josh Hader is to this team, because you take him off of this team, and to me, it raises real big concerns once you get to the postseason. Would you agree with that, that if Hader weren't on this team, you'd feel or not feel as confident about the Brewers' chances in the postseason? I mean, that's an obvious thing to say. Hader's one of the best bullpen arms in the game. But I think for me, it severely hurts my confidence in this team if you don't have Hader at the back end of that bullpen, because while Woodruff and Burns and Peralta are all very good, you know, they're not out there going complete games every time out. You need somebody to get those last two or three innings to be locked down. And Hader is one of the best in the game.
Yeah. We talked about that on the show last night, how every single one of the World Series teams that we've seen last, you know, however many years, typically the story there is that they had a really dominant arm at the back end of the bullpen. Whether that be a guy like Aroldis Chapman or Andrew Miller or Daniel Hudson or a Craig Kimbrel back in the day with the Boston Red Sox. So I think that's kind of what the storyline is. I just doubted myself. Did Kimbrel pitch for the Red Sox, correct?
In the World Series runs? He did.
Okay. I usually just go with it, you know, and just be like, no one's going to check me on that. But anyway, I checked myself. Appreciate that, Jake.
I actually don't think that was his best year, though. I think I remember Chris Sale coming in to finish off that World Series, though. So, I think he was on that team, but I think he was actually having a bit of a down season.
Okay, I think you're right on that. But so Yeah, that's what it does for me. Agreed. You got to have a dominant closer at the back end of the game in order to finish off teams in the playoffs. I mean, those games are so tight in the playoffs with so much pressure. Throwing out the ball is not easy. You need a guy that is so bad, and looking forward to having it back, especially for the playoff run.
Yeah, and trying to think, you know, positively here, which I know is new for me on the podcast, but if I think it could kind of be a blessing in disguise here with Hader missing a little bit of time, because you keep him, you keep his innings down. Not that that was really a major issue, but obviously it's something Craig Counsell focused on coming into the year, you know, making him strictly a one inning reliever and limiting him to just the ninth inning. And he had honestly hadn't pitched a lot anyway. I mean, that's why, you know, some people were kind of worried about his lack of work and him being kind of rusty, because the games that the Brewers have won a lot lately, especially these Pirates games, have been blowouts and they haven't really been needed. And the offenses, to their credit, has tacked on runs late, and the Brewers and Counsell haven't needed to use Hader, which is a good thing, but he just hasn't gotten a lot of work lately. Now he's going to get at least 10 days off. Again, trying to think positively here, perhaps it keeps him really fresh for the postseason. At least I hope that's the case there. But don't want to talk about that too much more, because we got help coming, or was coming, unfortunately, and John Axford. And we're going to get into it. It wasn't the storybook ending, and it's not an ending. It's not over yet, but it wasn't the storybook first appearance for him that we all wanted. But when the news came out this morning, Vinny, it was pretty exciting to see John Axford making his return. He's 38 years old, right-handed pitcher. Obviously, Brewers fans very familiar with him. Hadn't pitched in the big league since 2018. Broke in with the Brewers in 2009. And five seasons with the Brewers, he had a 3.35 ERA, 263 and a third innings, with 318 strikeouts and 106 saves. This year with the Blue Jays AAA team, he would have been lights out. He allowed just one earned run on three hits and three walks over 11 and two-thirds innings with 15 strikeouts. Doesn't get much better than that. Vinny, it's not often we get to talk about guys who are still playing that played back in your time. So you had to have crossed paths with Axford at some point in your career.
I never played on the same team with him, even though we kind of both came up with the Brewers, and then I never played against him, surprisingly. But yeah, wow. No, we played in the same era, which is kind of crazy to think that that's now kind of an era in the early to mid 2000s. I mean, obviously we're in the 2020s now. So what a cool story for him to come up. And like you said, I mean, I heard he was pumping 96, 97. He was able to get ahead of some hitters tonight, but just wasn't able to put them away. Ryan Reynolds gave him a ton of fits, as well as Jacob Stallings falling off some pitches and just staying alive and able to create some havoc on the bases. And then he looked like he got hurt. Hopefully he's all right. Back of the elbow is what I heard Counsell talk about in the postgame show, is where the area of pain is. Getting an MRI tomorrow. Would have been a nice guy to add to your pen, you know, throwing 90, 95, 97. Like I said, hopefully he's okay. He's able to come back from this. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to figure some things out with the bullpen in general. But, yeah, unfortunate Axford wasn't able to get out of it.
Yeah, for sure. Wasn't the first outing we were hoping for, but hopefully there are more to come. I mean, it shows you where the Brewers are trying to get to in their bullpen right now with all the guys they have on the COVID IL, and Strickland and Cousins and now Hader, and just trying to find some guys to piece that thing together. Hopefully Axford does get another chance. Hopefully it's nothing major there. But I saw you and Dillard possibly thinking about making a comeback there now with Axford coming back. Is that in the works? Are we going to break some news here, Vinny?
Yeah, we're going to make a comeback. We're going to make an announcement tomorrow, and then no one is going to sign us. So okay. There you go.
Yeah. Right. same for me too then.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah, pretty cool for Axford though. Again, hopefully everything's okay. Hopefully he gets another shot at it. It is a really great story that people were talking about on Monday. Just a couple of other news items before we move on to the Monday recap. Yelich is hopefully going to be back this weekend as long as he clears all his COVID testing. Sounds like he is doing better. I didn't hear them exactly say symptom-free, but said he's doing better. So hopefully he'll be able to pass those tests and can get back this weekend. Jace Peterson is back. He only had to sit out for 7 days. And as a result, Pablo Reyes was optioned back to AAA. Patrick Weigel, who had been DFA'd to clear a roster spot, he cleared waivers and remains in the Brewers system. So good thing there. Keep another pitcher around because Brewers may need him at some point here with the way that the bullpen arms are going down. All right, we'll take a break and come back and recap Monday's win over the Pirates. Before we do that, let me tell you about our friends at Wild Alaskan. Do you love to order fish when you go out to eat but never make it yourself at home? Cooking restaurant quality dishes at home starts with high quality seafood and simple techniques from Wild Alaskan Seafood. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high quality, sustainably sourced wild caught seafood right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. And every month there are different specials to explore. Each shipment contains premium wild caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership anytime, and they offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box. So, Vinny, it was kind of exactly how the last series win against the Pirates. I know there's one game in there where the Brewers just jumped out big, but it's a kind of a slow start of things. And the Brewers offense breaks out late. Brewers hitters weren't really able to square up anything against Bryce Wilson. Again, I'm very familiar with Wilson, watching him a lot with the Braves. I didn't think he was particularly great in this outing. He certainly wasn't fooling anybody. He had only two swings and misses in five innings with no strikeouts. I was just crazy in today's game, and his spin rates weren't very good either. It's just for whatever reason the Brewers weren't squaring him up, and when they did, it was getting caught. Tyrone Taylor got robbed of a couple hits from Brian Reynolds. The one in the second inning was just absolutely amazing, and possibly saved a run too. But anything you saw from either Wilson or the Brewers hitters early in that game that they just weren't able to get some good swings going?
I think it's just a matter of not seeing a guy very often. It's first time seeing it from a lot of those Brewer hitters. Bryce Wilson's a competitor. I don't believe in the stuff in the long run. I mean, he's 91, 93 tonight. Little slider, doesn't have a ton of break to it, doesn't have the ability to get the swing and miss with it. He's got a little changeup that's fairly straight. But the guy's a competitor. He's got a little bit of the deceptive release point where it's a little bit lower and wider. That is a little bit deceptive and kind of throws it uphill, a little bit similar to Freddie Peralta type of a release. But like you said, doesn't have great spin rates, I think he's got good vertical movement on it. It just kind of carries through the zone. They just weren't able to square it up, fouling a lot of pitches off. So, not a big believer in that kid, but I think they see him another time or two. I think they'll probably get to him.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of rooting for the guy because I didn't love the way that the Braves treated him. They kept kind of jerking him back and forth, never really gave him a shot. So I like him because of that mentality. Like you said, he is a very fierce competitor. I talked last time about the start he had in the NLCS, which was just amazing. I know he has that kind of bulldog mentality in him. His velo was actually much lower than it has been at times. He used to be a guy that would sit mid 90s. So stuff just didn't seem there for him. But again, what, like you said, Brewers hitters just not seeing him. I think there were a lot of foul balls, like you said, just weren't able to square him up. I thought Lauer was just okay as well. Look, it's hard to judge a starting pitcher against this Pirates lineup who has maybe two or three major league hitters in it. I mean, that's just being in all honesty there. But he did get 10 swings and misses, four of them on that cutter, three on the slider. His pitch count got high early. So I think it was around 40 pitches or so through two innings that kept him from going too deep in this one. But still five scoreless. I mean, against anybody, you know, that's really good. He's gone at least five innings in his last seven starts. And in his last five starts, he's given up two earned or less. I mean, the guy's been really big for the Brewers this year, Vinny. Can't say enough about how good Eric Lauer has been.
We talk about on the show, they have three dominant starting pitchers, but then they have three really good starting pitchers as well that performed really well in Eric Lauer, Brett Anderson, and Adrian Houser, who's throwing tomorrow. All three of these guys have given the team pretty consistent innings. I think Eric Lauer's figuring himself out. He throws a ton of four-seam cutter combination pitches. And he's been really good at filling up the zone with those pitches. He's been really efficient with his, like, 70% strikes with just those two pitches. He actually had the slider, curveball, whatever he calls it, working tonight as well. He threw 16 of those, which is kind of rare. Like I said, he was really kind of just using a fastball cutter. Changeup wasn't there for him tonight, but he's been just having the ability to really kind of drive the baseball through in a direction and just letting it work and then using the cutter off of that. He's like 96th percentile on Baseball Savant for giving up hard hit percentage. So he doesn't give up hard hits, and that's because of that fastball cutter combo. Hitters have a hard time picking that up, and then just kind of misses barrels. So he's been good. I mean, he's been really good. I thought he's just kind of – I think he's going to give you what you saw tonight. He's not going to be like a guy that just wows you like the ball. I think this is what you're going to get. He is also a competitor. Sells when he gets in trouble, traffic. But he's an athlete. Guy can ability to make some adjustments. Eric Lauer and what he's been able to do this year.
Yeah, for sure. Been huge for this team and be able to go to that six-man rotation. And like you said, have three guys at the bottom of that who are going to give you solid outings just about every time out. I mean, that's absolutely huge for this team. Early on, it was Lorenzo Cain again, his good base running. I mean, that's what won them the game on Sunday against the Braves. It looked like that was going to be what won them the game on Monday until things got out of hand late. But and Lorenzo Cain batting eighth in this lineup just kind of shows the depth of where this lineup is right now. But he was able to get on with a swinging bunt. Then he stole second. Was moved over to third on a bunt base hit by the pitcher. Grounds crew doing a good job wetting down the home plate area there, so the first baseman slipped. But Wong brought him in on a sac fly. So you got a little bit of small ball action there, which you guys know I'm a huge fan of, to get the first run on the board when the game was really tight early on. But things got broken up and late, like I said, with the offense, and mainly came from newcomer Eduardo Escobar. He had a big two-out RBI triple, which gave the Brewers some breathing room, made it a 2-0 game. That was really huge at that time. He also walked twice in this game, and then he pretty much put the game on ice, although it did get a little dicey there in the ninth inning. But he had a 3-run blast in the seventh inning, which was just an absolute moonshot. But Vinny, the early returns on Eduardo Escobar are looking really good right now.
Man, this guy's going to bring – he brings – some length to the lineup. He also brings, I mean, just flat out bring production to the lineup. Mm-hmm. 24 home runs now in the year. I mean, that's a lot of home runs. I mean, it's 70 RBI. So he's playing for a team that was awful in the Arizona Diamondbacks with really nobody hitting around him consistently. So this guy can hit. I mean, he just flat out hits. He's got a really good swing, really natural swing to him. And see the baseball quality at bats. You stick him now in the middle of this order. Hopefully Christian Yelich can get going, maybe take some pressure off of Christian Yelich now that Eduardo Escobar is in the lineup. But love this guy. I mean, this guy is just going to bring production. He's going to bring the quality at bat. He played a pretty nice third base tonight. He's a pretty smooth mover over there. I know he's at times has had some errors in his career over there, but like his actions at third base. His team all of a sudden just got really good and really went from kind of an all or nothing group with some really struggling hitters to all of a sudden up and down the lineup, quality at bats, guys that foul pitches off, and guys that can drive the ball to the gaps and out of the ballpark as well. So all of a sudden this team looks really, really good on paper in terms of their offensive potential And then obviously their pitching to go along with it. So I love this move to acquire Eduardo Escobar.
Yep. For sure. And I love the energy he brings just feeding off, you know, Adames and what he's brought to the clubhouse. So love to see that as well. And then we touched on Axford, you know, a rough go of things in his return, allowed a couple of runs and things got a little interesting there in the ninth inning before Boxberger came in to get the save and close things out for the 6-2 win. Ultimately, the Brewers had to work a little bit for this one against the Pirates, but still were able to get the win and get the opening win of this series, which will hopefully will be a sweep. And we'll come back and talk about how the Brewers are going to get that done. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the excitement at betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days. It's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store, just hoping they have the parts that you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket. You can pull them up on your cell phone and find any make and model of any kind of auto parts that your car will ever need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days. The biggest one is obviously to save money. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? They have everything you can need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your vehicle and do us a favor. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So, Vinny, like I said, the Brewers get the win in game one of this series. And with the Reds off on Monday, they increase their lead in the division to 7.5 games. And the Reds will be starting a series against the Twins on Tuesday. And the Twins are not a very good team, but they do have to face Kenta Maeda on Tuesday, who can be a very good pitcher at times. Hopefully the Twins can help us out, win a couple of games in that series. That would certainly be big. But Brewers got a chance to rack up some more wins against this Pirates team. You have Max Kranick versus Adrian Houser on Tuesday. And with the bullpen in the way that it is and being kind of shorthanded, Bruce, you're going to have to hope that Houser can go give you some length in this one, hopefully at least five, maybe six innings. I did a little bit of research on Kranick because I told you the other day I'd never really seen him pitch. Looks like he only had nine starts above A-ball, so the Pirates kind of rushed him up, and the numbers weren't great there at AA and AAA before the Pirates gave him a chance, but mid-90s fastball that he throws 50% of the time, has an 88-mile-per-hour slider and 80-mile-per-hour curveball. He has some good whiff percentages in the 30% range on his two off-speed offerings this year in the big leagues, but obviously ERA over 7. Things haven't gone great for the 24-year-old in Kranick, and he'll be going up against Houser, one of those not the big three, but the next three, I guess we can call them.
I like that. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. Oh, you wanted a comment for me?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Let me get something on this Kranick guy. I mean, you are previewing the game tomorrow. I thought maybe you have a little extra info for me.
Yeah, they got to come away with a win here. I like this matchup. Kranick is a guy that, but you know, the stuff's there. He's going to make mistakes like any young pitcher. He's a little bit of a max effort type thrower. Got to take mistakes in the middle of the zone. Take advantage of mistakes in the middle of the zone. These Brewer bats do. And then Houser's just – I like watching this guy pitch now. I mean, he's been able to kind of stay in his delivery a little bit better and kind of mature as a pitcher and not be that thrower that he used to be and just kind of go max effort and kind of hope for the best type of thing once he released the ball. Now he's pitching, and it's impressive. Just encourage fans to just watch his head through release tomorrow, how much more online it stays. It's calm. It just allows, you know, he allows his delivery to kind of take over and not kind of like force it anymore. And it's kind of, it's fun to watch how much this guy's improved. So look forward to seeing a Brewers win tomorrow on the backs of Adrian Hauser.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Like we said, they really should win all of these games against the Pirates. I know it's easier said than done and the game's not played on paper, but this is definitely one that the Brewers on paper should take home. So we'll see if they get it done. Denny is saying they will. So, you know, it's probably going to happen as he always is our best predictor here. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball and Benny at Benny Rotino. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.